Oh, it's always good to have two recordings.
Doesn't
Sure
hurt.
is. Well, Rich, what have you been up to lately?
Nothing, apparently. He's listening to us.
Yeah.
Well, this is Linux Sync Tech Show. I don't know what number. Dan can put it in there.
Yeah, it's weird. We're all talking tech, and then suddenly we start recording, and everybody's silent.
So, as you heard, we have Joe with us.
And hello.
I'm Joel McLaughlin, and we have Pat Davila, and maybe Rich Hughes.
He was on before.
Yeah, he was talking smack a little while ago.
Well, that's all he does, but... So we're talking about... just a minute ago, and we'll kind of rehash some of that. I sent a pair of LG Tone Freeze to Joe because they started falling apart, and I thought, well, see what happens when you can fix them. So you can go ahead and share what you just told me.
It looks like the inside is held together with hot glue, it almost looks like. It's a very soft, tacky glue. But my concern is that since the end pieces aren't staying in and it isn't pushing back together, that maybe the internals are being pushed out by an expanding battery, which, you know, not good, especially for something you stick in your ear. But it's a really nice design from LG. It looks like it's actually made to come apart and go back together because it's got these... two little connectors that go to the actual speaker itself from the rest of the electronics. And it obviously designed for that front piece to come off. Otherwise, it would be soldered together. So I haven't decided yet. I'm probably just going to end up trying to find a slightly harder glue and sticking it back together, but that only leaves me like one chance to get it right because of that connector, because it's not soldered.
Yeah, it's not. Well, not only is it not soldered, you know, so basically if you use something like kind of what's starting to become my favorite glue is I ordered some Bob Smith Industries cyano acrylic in a kit with the glue and accelerant. So maybe if you
so
had
it's
something
a super
like...
glue with an accelerant, okay.
Correct. So maybe something like that, you would put them together and shift it around until you got to work. But it would be really dangerous, too, because you'd have that cyano acrylic next to your ear trying to hear if it's actually working when you glued it.
Yeah, the other concern is that when you're gluing around that edge, if you get it over the pads where the connector is, guess what?
Yeah, no work.
So you got to be... I'll probably avoid that one area entirely and just the rest of it. And then I'm going to have to make sure it's in the correct position. And not only, I'm not going to be able to listen to it when I do it because I'm going to have to put it in a vise right away.
Right.
And then leave it sit for 12 hours.
And then the upside of that, though, is even if you didn't mess it up, I don't care. He's not fixing them for me.
Yeah, well, I was able to get them to push together and listen to them, and they do sound like they work great. And they both charge, and they both turn on, and you can get sound to come out of both of them, which is better than most of the headsets that I get. So I'm really grateful that you sent them to me. Thank you.
Yep.
I hope I get them put together, and I will probably use the hell out of them.
Yeah. They were really good. In fact, I would buy another set. But I would probably buy upgrade because they have several that are very similar in form factor.
Yeah.
In fact, they have one that has a that when you pop them in the charge case, it will actually turn on a UV light to help disinfect them every time.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So, yeah, and I definitely would pay a little bit more for that. But, I mean, I've liked them. Now, I will say this. I have two that I use with my phone regularly. A Salt Candy Skull Candy Sesh Evos, which are the kind, those ones don't require an app. A lot of headphones now seem to require an app that
well,
I noticed.
A lot of them say that they require an app, but then they would just require an app for the extra functions.
Right, or firmware updating, which...
Or firmware updating.
Right, Skull Candy doesn't appear to have that. My only kind of complaint with them is every once in a while, like if they're just in the case and the lid's closed, I'll pull them out and they may be not charged. And I don't... It's not because I'm missing the
connectors. You probably
connectors.
Need to clean up those pads just a little bit.
No. This is what I'm describing or about to describe is okay. Happening. It happened when they were even brand new, without even being, you know, crusted in my ear. So what I've noticed was all you have to do to make sure that they are charged is just open the lid and let them sit with the lid open, which kind of like defeats the purpose. But
well, a lot of them won't even charge unless the lid is closed and pushing them down.
Right. Yeah. But these are weird like that. So so it's not a major complaint, and they do have pretty good battery life, and they sound well enough. Bluetooth headphones aren't really for audiophiles. They're not.
There's too much compression. Yeah. No, my issue with the true wireless earbuds is usually battery power. And because usually you get 3 to 4 hours of actual playtime from them.
Yeah, most I've gotten on any of them has been about 6.
Yeah,
which is decent. The Sesh Evos seem to be like there. My other which I when I'm listening, like the Sesh Evos are usually the ones I use at night because they will stay connected. Even like if there's no audio playing, so I'll wear them to bed, my alarm will still ring into them, which is awesome.
But, yeah, there are some that will shut off if there's no sound going to them for like 30 minutes or something, which is annoying.
Right. But and these ones seem to stay connected, and so those are usually the ones I wear at night. Then the other ones I wear just when I want to listen are a pair of Jabra Elite
3+. Oh, 3+. Well, I have a complaint. I have a complaint about the Jabra Elite 65Ts, and I know that there's a couple of other Bluetooth headsets that do the exact same thing. Now, they're supposed to have, the battery pack case to charge them so you can use them for 30-odd hours or whatever. And my problem with that is you cannot use the left side independently. So, yes, I can put it into the charging case and let the right side charge, but I cannot use the left side alone by itself. Only the right side alone by itself.
Interesting.
And they're designed that way.
Yeah,
I have two sets.
I think that I can use either one independent on the three pluses. I think that's the ones I have. I'd have to look, but they're pretty good, and I like them because the case is a lot smaller than the Sesh Evos, although not as small as the LGs. But those ones I like pretty well. The other pair I have are what? Ultrasonic, I'm trying to remember. They were $50 and I got them at Sam's Club last year. And those ones I only use with my iPad.
You got tons and tons of the Samsung buds. Right. But evidently, I have tons and tons of them because they're garbage and they fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, even like, I don't know if you've ever watched DankPod.
No.
Yeah, he's known for, well, he'll review headphones kind of in a cheeky way, and he also will do things like he's taken like classic iPods apart and replaced the hard drives inside of them with flashcards. He has one that he did all the way up to 2 terabytes, and it think it worked at 2. I know it worked pretty well at 1 terabyte. But he does
anything
that
larger
plus...
than 2, would you start running up against the size limit?
I think the problem when you get larger on the iPod Classic is
peak time.
So many you can only have so many tracks on it.
Yeah.
Cause remember they don't just dump the file. It's not iPods don't just dump the files on in a normal way that you can actually read them and stuff. It has its own little database thing. So when it syncs all the files over, it renames the files. So they're still MP3s, but you'd have to dig in and look at them using an ID3 tagger. So once they're on there. So, and I think that's part of what they use when they're trying to do things like shuffle and set up playlists and stuff like that. So that's Apple for you. They don't do anything nice for anyone but them.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I would have agreed with you until very recently. They did start putting out, or say that they were going to start putting out the schematics for all of their devices so that people can work on them. At least for their laptops.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and really, the big reason I didn't get one of the M1s was cost. You know,
yeah.
I didn't want to spend $2,000 on a laptop.
I don't either.
I spent $1,200 on this one, but the $2,000 was a little pricey. And then the other thing that really annoys me about any of their laptops now is pretty much you better order the RAM and the hard drive that you all the space you can possibly ever need, because there's no way you're upgrading it.
Right. Right.
So, unless you have like
mad microscope skills,
yeah, that too. So yeah, it's just a guy like Tronix Fix could probably upgrade it, but I don't even think he would try.
I wouldn't say it. Tronix Fix doesn't do a lot of reballing. So he could not. There's another guy though. Oh gosh, what's his name? The Coder, with a 3 for the E in Coder. Him, he could probably do it, but he probably wouldn't.
But yeah, I mean, pretty much if you're ordering a MacBook, which. Yeah, I could see why. Like, for example, if your work, in fact, this is probably a decision I want to come to eventually with my work, is they'd offer either like a Dell or a MacBook. I want the MacBook the next time I get a new laptop, mostly because it's going to have all the things I need on it, things like Git and stuff like that, where I'd basically just have to install it. And not to say that Windows doesn't, but it's just a little easier since they have a Unix shell and all that stuff on MacBooks by default without having them do any work. Now, granted, Windows subsystem for Linux works very well. So I think I'd have to check. I thought I even installed Ansible in my WSL, but I digress. But because that's the thing I've been kind of... studying a lot this week, since it's kind of a slow week at work. Not a lot of changes going in, so
really
I've been watching.
Is.
Yep, it should be. Yeah, that means we did our work on. You just stopped and started the recording, but. but that's because we did the work we needed to do to mitigate Log4j, both as a company. Our team. So we got all of our clients done last night. Big thanks to my Bangalore team. But the nice thing though about getting a MacBook is it's got less Windows flakiness as it sometimes can have. But the Ansible training, we have a cloud guru long time ago bought Linux Academy, and the training videos I'm watching for Ansible are all from that. And they've been very, very enlightening. It's just the basic level. So some of it's I've already know, basic Ansible commands and stuff like that. It hasn't gotten to the section where we start looking at playbooks yet, which is probably stuff I'm more interested in because we use playbooks more than anything. We use playbooks to fix Log4j via Jenkins. So. Which Jenkins will be one of the next things I look at. But so far as the videos and the labs, because there are labs with this, they actually spin up. I'm betting they probably spin up some on-demand stuff in AWS or something. And they spin up a new machines every time you go into a lab. So then when you say, hey, I'm done with a lab, it'll basically terminate those instances and stop them. So you can't go back and review the work you've already done without actually going in and do it all over again. But it's been pretty nice. I mean, Ansible is very powerful, but I don't see myself using the Ansible commands directly like I am now in the labs, because we're going to do this all through Jenkins via Git and PRs and stuff like that. So, but I'm learning a lot with that. The labs are pretty fun. They're not too difficult. The nice thing is they, right after you watch the thing, it tells you what to do in a lab. The very next thing that loads before you start actually opening the PuTTY sessions is the video with the solution. So, that kind of helps. And probably the things I would be looking for after I finish this stuff is looking at things like maybe a nice cheat sheet for the commands, because if I have that, I can do the Ansible commands if I have to do them, which I generally shouldn't have to, but in our work things, because like I said, it's all going to be happening with Jenkins. The Cloud Guru has a lot of great content on there. If you pay for it on your own, or if you can manage to get your work to pay for it, highly recommend it. That's how I study for my AWS Cloud Practitioner certification I got this past year. So for a New Year's kind of thing, if you want to learn more about the new cloud stuff, something I recommend. The next thing on that too is I'd also add Python too, because Python's frequently used with Ansible and with GitOps stuff. So, but automation, while key for cloud things, it's probably also the number one thing that causes some vulnerabilities in some cases. Like, for example, earlier today, it was reported that the master passwords on LastPass have been compromised.
Really?
They have since come back and said that no passwords were at risk. But and with some other friends of mine that I do another show with, we're not normal either, but more trying to look at Windows and Mac mostly, and a little bit of Linux, and mobile tech, of course. But just a bunch of other guys I do shows with every other week. iTech Gear Weekly is the name of the show, although we only do every 2 weeks. But one of our hosts is pretty fearful, paranoid/panicky of the cloud. And I don't really think like this example was being used as a reason, because LastPass is, of course, a cloud-based application. But I don't blame it as much on that as I blame it on a lot of, especially the automation stuff. You know, in the grand scheme of IT things, things like Jenkins, and even though we've been using them for years, in the grand scheme of all that, all the IT stuff that's out there, let's face it, they're babies. You know, they're new technology, and there's a lot of IT people that don't even know them yet. Although I recommend you do get to learn them because you're going to use them, especially if you're younger than myself or even younger than Joe, who's probably the youngest guy on the show tonight.
Yeah, but, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you're using that, Pat?
What's that?
How old are you, Pat?
I'm 51.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm the youngest on the show tonight.
Yes.
I'm the youngest on the show most nights.
Most nights, yeah. Unless we get your daughter to come on.
Yeah. Or, well, what, last time? I don't think it was last time. I think it was the time before. We had Josh.
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Josh on Tech. He's younger than me.
If you're just starting out in it, you definitely want to learn that, because if you don't use it now, you will at some point. You'll use Ansible, possibly Google or Azure or AWS or all three, which actually, ironically, like I said, all three, because I've gotten a couple emails from recruiters mentioning multi-cloud architecture. I think that's because luckily I got to miss this fun, but US East went down again last week because of a power outage. And that concerns me quite a bit, and it's kind of funny. When you have a bigger AWS account like we do, they give you a technology assurance manager. And my boss, who's the VP of our division, is boss's boss, I should say, the VP of our division, boss's boss, actually, three layers down from me, up from me, I should say. But he's definitely been nailing the Amazon people for the recent issues with US East. But. And I was definitely affected. I'm not sure if any of you guys were, but from my standpoint, I think all of our hosts
have been on vacation.
US East gone down.
So I have no clue.
See, yeah, I was lucky, and I missed all that fun. So I was on vacation too. It's something I do want to mention here. Like we had an unplanned thing happen when I was on vacation. My dad had a like a appliance repair guy come to look at his dishwasher because it was leaking. All right. Well, what he ended up finding was that there's a grommet that goes around like all the guts of the dishwasher, you know, the pumps and motors and stuff. And that was starting to go. Well, of course, the brilliance of, I don't even remember who his old one was made by, but whoever designed the thing, in their infinite brilliance, made it so that the only way that you can fix it is that you have to replace every fucking thing. The pumps, you know, basically it would have been $457 to repair it, and we went and got a cheap model at Lowe's and replaced it for
brand
less
new
than
one.
The cost of fix. Yeah, brand new one, a Frigidaire. So, that one, that was basically an afternoon project of my dad and I when I was down there. We pulled out the old one, disconnected everything, and then the other thing I found out too is his shutoff valves under his sink, which is where any of that water stuff should be for the dishwasher, wouldn't shut off all the way. So it had a little tiny trickle as we're taking things apart, so the floor's getting all wet, and I had to change clothes before we went out to dinner.
Why not turn off the main then?
That was the next thought. Basically, what I think needs to happen is those valves just need to be replaced, because let's face it, his house is over 20 years old. So,
like, that's so old.
It's not that, it's not old really for a house when you really think about it, you know, because,
right? It's yeah, not old.
But, those things don't last forever still. So,
yeah, I got a valve, on my garage on the outside for the backyard that, needs to be replaced.
Ripping
but it's kind of like, buried in the cement or in the brick, so I don't know the best way to get that removed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's one where I would probably call a plumber, and it ain't gonna be expensive.
Yeah. Well, probably. But it does need replaced.
Yep.
I'd love to be able to do it myself, but we...
The one thing is a critique I have is how shitty design these dishwashers are. At least
that's
from
basically any of your appliances these days. They're designed to frickin' fall apart.
Yep. I mean, no one puts repair in mind when they build them. Not to mention the fact they don't really put insulation in mind either, at least by normal.
They want it to fall apart 10 days after the warranty ends.
Right. So, but what we ended up doing is there was like this elbow connector that was just literally screwed on the water line that goes into it. We completely removed, luckily just twists on and off. So we completely removed that, put the new dishwasher on its back, and firmly screwed it on the where the connection goes, and then screwed the water line back on. So that once we got that done, now all the water finally stopped, and we can clean that up, and then tackle the electrical work. And that's the other kind of critique I have about home builders too: is put the dishwasher on a fucking circuit by itself. They didn't do that here. So your dad's like, well, before we start taking this electrical stuff off the old one, we should probably shut the breakers off, because little thing with electricity can be death. So I go out to the breaker box and I see two for the kitchen and then one for kitchen GFCI, and I see a stove, which is 220. And I think the microwave even had its own breaker too, but the dishwasher didn't. So I'm like, okay, I'll just shut off these three breakers. That's a good question. I don't know. So all I did was flip the GFCI one and then, the other two, and then we didn't kill ourselves. So obviously that worked.
You didn't die.
Nope.
You call that a success.
Yep. Gosh, you just sound like GLaDOS there for a second. Anyway, because I've been playing a little Portal 2. But, we got everything wired up. That's the other kind of thing too, is the home wiring was all solid THHN. And then, of course, the wires coming off were... braided, and they didn't really have a long lead on them, but I was finally able to make it work, get the wire nuts screwed on them, and then we attached the ground line to it as well, and then they had to put the cover back over that, and that was kind of a pain in the ass because the house wiring was very stiff because it's solid THHN. So, but we managed to get it all back together, slid everything in there, and it worked. So, and it didn't leak. So, but it just amazes me how shitty these things are designed.
Yet,
well, that's true. 5-6 years from now, it'll probably leak again. But
that's a success if it lasts 5 or 6 years.
Well, that's what his old one lasted. He got the old one not too long after my mom passed. So. That one he got scratched, and then this one was brand new. So still had the little blue protective coating on the front of the stainless steel. But like, when we were first looking at them, he's looking at this one and he said, "Hey, this is a good price," but it was black. I said, "Dad, look around and see if they have one in stainless steel, because you don't want black on there. Everything else you have in your kitchen is stainless steel. So we turned the corner. Oh, there it is. There's a stainless steel one. And they actually had it in stock, which is also a challenge in this day and age. Thank you, COVID and government shipping shutdowns. Yeah. Well, and then I get to the next kind of interesting topic here of the week. I need to find the story, but there's a rumor that there may not be that many more Raspberry Pi 4s this year. And I mean next being year, made? Too. Yeah. Because of the chip shortage. Yeah, six to 12 month backup of some of the critical chips they need on the Raspberry Pi. Ergo, prices are going insane.
Of course. Well, honestly, for the Raspberry Pi, you know, it's supposed to be a $35 machine or whatever. But even before the 4 with, you know, the high amounts of RAM, unless you could find a store that sells them, which is few and far between, you weren't getting them at no $35.
Right. Well, and this is from the Raspberry Pi and DIY Projects Facebook group. Somebody posted a picture of, looks like Amazon. And I want to say CannaKit probably, the Raspberry Pi 4 Model B 2019 edition, which is the 4 gigabyte version, $178. CannaKit, this actually makes even no less sense because the CannaKit Raspberry Pi 4 starter kit with 8 gig of RAM, which includes a case, power supply, memory card, thumb thing, a book, and a fan, cooling fan, is $189. So, let's see. Pay $189, get a case, get an 8-gig one, power supply, and it looks like probably, I have to say, it looks like there might even be an HDMI cable in that. I'd pay that.
Yeah. Well, I'm also looking around, I see that NVIDIA is planning on releasing the 4000 series, but heck, people can't even get a hold of the 3000 series.
Interesting.
With graphics cards. So why start releasing the next in line if people can't even get the old ones?
True. In fact, story from Eben Upton on the RaspberryPi.com website back in October. That's when they announced some price changes. 2 gig Raspberry Pi 4 temporarily moves back to $45, and they to support the many industrial customers who have designed the 2-gig variant of the Raspberry 4 and other products, we're reintroducing the 1-gig variant at $35. Now, this is back in October, so that probably may have changed.
Right. I remember them dropping the 1-gig variant
right
when the 8-gig came out.
Let me see if they have on RaspberryPi.com if they have that listed. But long and short of it, though, now is the time to start looking at things like the other small form factor PCs, like ones that they talk about on the mini PC show.
Yeah, at that price, I mean, you might as well look at it like a Panda Board or something.
Right.
Okay, maybe not the Panda Board. Panda Board might be still expensive, but is it Pine makes one? No.
Pine 64. Yeah, or Pine Rock 64. Pi. Yeah. Pine 64 is another board, if it's available. I don't know if the single board is available anymore in them.
At least you can get those used, usually.
Yeah. Any used Raspberry Pis on eBay. Heck, if you have Raspberry Pi 4s you're not using, try putting them on eBay. You're probably going to make all the money you spent on it back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you bought them early on. They retain their value. Even the Pi 3s, you can't get those at a decent price on eBay.
Right. And the Pi 2, the Pi 40Ws too are probably up there too now.
Well, the Pi 2, the Pi 0W2.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, crazy name scheme crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, well, and the other thing I've always wanted ever since it was announced was the Raspberry Pi 400.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that have had them, and they say good things, so.
I like the keyboard that it's built into, because I technically have the keyboard, because I have the Pi Foundation keyboard. The regular keyboard, not the 400 one, but in any case, you know, Raspberry Pis are going to be hard to come by. And I think cars as well.
Everything's going to be hard to come by. Yes, that's why car prices are so high. It's because of the chip shortage.
And other things, too, like COVID tech.
Well, that's because of the shipping issues.
Yeah, definitely comes from that. That's like I had a, there's a, probably every town has one. It may be called different things, but like a city Facebook group. And the one on ours, when someone posted an empty shelf of like old remedies and stuff like NyQuil and stuff, a local CVS, and there were, some people were trying to blame it on COVID. And I'm like, well, technically, yeah, you probably can, but it's probably more likely the supply chain stuff, not COVID itself directly.
Yeah.
But that's not every store, too, because while CVS's shelves might be empty, my Meijer just had a full shelf. Like, I went to grab some, just because there's certain things that when I go on vacation and I leave out of town that I like to make sure I have with me, things like Imodium AD. Just in case, you know.
Just in case.
You know, and in my case, since I have high blood pressure for sinuses and flu-like symptoms that aren't COVID, things like quercetin HBP is something that I get, because that literally the only one I can take, and it doesn't really work that well, to be honest. But that's like when we were down there, my son started complaining about his sinuses. And he doesn't have high blood pressure, so I said, honey, let's just go walk over here and let's ask them. Actually, that was right before we went. Ask them for the good stuff, namely regular, plain Sudafed. You know, and that's all kept behind the counter now because people meth turn heads. That shit. Yeah, meth heads. Yeah, basically. Yeah. And you can only, and they have to take your, not only do they have to take your ID, but they have to, like, record it down, because you're only allowed to get, like, one box. So much. Yeah.
I think you're allowed to get up to two boxes.
Well, even though my wife
and they have to make sure that you're a proper age.
Right. Even though my wife was paying for it, they took my son's ID down instead of hers, because it was for my son. Even though I can go grab the box and take one anyway. So, You know, but
well, they're not worried about people taking one,
right? No, they're worried about people taking the whole package and creating some crank. So, but or meth or whatever you want to create out of it. It didn't used to be that way though. But so if you have a cold and you try the over counter, the stuff that's out and like away from the pharmacy. And it's not working, go to the pharmacy counter and say, hey, give me stuff that works. Yeah, you might have to give up your ID, but oh well.
As long as you're not making meth, what's it matter?
Yeah. But, and same thing goes like when I shop for a replacement vehicle and there's only three of them. So that's all I had to choose from. And it's not going to get any better. I have to ask, I have some friends from church. They got had somebody rear-end them and totaled their Chevy Cruze. And unfortunately, Chevy don't make those anymore. And for some dumb reason, the way our companies, mostly our companies, because the Japan companies like Toyota still makes cars. So does Honda. All right. But every American manufacturer, except for like their sports cars, seem to have no interest in making family cars anymore. Because everyone supposedly wants SUVs. Never mind that family cars can be cheaper and get better gas mileage.
Oh, blah. Half your SUVs are frickin' minivans anyway.
Yeah.
Minivans with a slightly modified body style. Slightly.
I will say my Traverse got much better gas mileage now since it's the front-wheel drive version instead of the four-wheel or all-wheel drive version. So, now, the newer Traverses that are all-wheel drive, I think you can actually go into a two-wheel drive mode now, where the version that I had, you couldn't do that. It was four-wheel drive all the time. Or all-wheel drive, whatever you want to call it. There's no locking hubs on those.
My Vice and this headphone are not going to get along because of the nice sloping angles on it.
I know.
You
need to get some like foam rubber or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe some blue tack. That might help. I don't know.
No, blue tack, if I let it harden.
Suguru. No, that's a little extreme.
That's a little permanent.
That too.
A bit more permanent than I need.
I need to get some of that, just for the heck of it.
You can make your own.
Yeah.
Silicone and some talc.
But... so how was your Christmas? Did you get anything cool, or did you just make sure the kids had stuff?
Mostly that second one there. Yeah. Not my subject today.
How about you, Pat?
My youngest got COVID.
That's always a good gift.
Lovely.
The positive, it's very mild. It's basically a strong cold now.
So you got Omicron.
What he did, nobody else did.
Yeah, that's now. And see, that's the other thing too. Just by talking about the sciencey kind of things around this, the true sciencey, not the made up political sciencey. The one thing I've noticed about this, in any variant, is how different it can attack people. Like, I've had friends that, probably the most common one that I've heard is headache and achy pain, as well as some who are losing their taste. But then I've heard somebody else losing their sense of smell. Dry cough was always part of it. But the weird one happened. Well, really weird one happened to my friend, where she didn't really know she had it when she started getting the sickness. And then she got to the point where they had to take her into the hospital, not because she had heart troubles breathing. She never really had problems breathing, although she did feel a lot of pain in her chest from it. But the thing that happened with her is it attacked her nervous system. So, like, she got to the point where her body was completely numb and she couldn't walk. And she also started to lose vision, too.
That's weird. How long was this?
Yeah. How old?
No, how long ago did this happen?
Oh, it just happened. It just happened right around Christmas. So she was in the hospital for a couple days. Her O2 sats were all good. And her vision is starting to clear. I don't know what they gave her, if they gave her a monoclonal or or if they did ivermectin and the other stuff that they're not supposed to do, supposedly. But she seems to be getting better. She was released, so she's convalescing at home.
Well, it seems like more kids are getting it now, but it's very mild.
Oh, yeah. My
son had hardly any symptoms. He was sneezing like the first day. He felt achy. He didn't have a fever. It's mostly in his sinuses. It wasn't in his chest. And
right.
It's been like 5 days, he feels fine now.
Yeah. And that's the other weird thing too is, but and the kids are usually that way. But then I have some friends whose daughter kind of got a little bit of long COVID, so it's just kind of went on a little longer than it usually does in kids. But she's ultimately fine now too. But
does she have a different immune system?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Compromised immune system of some kind.
I wouldn't doubt it. Her father, and this is a guy that if you're the praying type, I would ask you to pray for this guy. He has fibrodysplasia. Basically, like, I'm trying to think how you would define it. I'll have to look up the specific things in that, but basically what it means is his head is in splitting pain like all the time. Like, to the point where he can't work. He's on disability.
Blood flow issue to the brain or something?
It has something to do, see, it's an uncommon bone disorder in which scar-like fibrous tissue develops in place of normal bone. The irregular tissue can weaken in the affected bone and cause it to deform or fracture. So basically, it's kind of what he's got going on. And there's no known cure yet.
Probably no known but cause either.
Yeah, probably that too. Mayo Clinic has a good page on it. But yeah, he's pretty much in pain 24/7. He has his good days and his bad days. He did have some pretty massive surgeries where they went in to remove some of that tissue, which helped his face look a little less puffy and help him feel a little bit better. But it really didn't help that much because, you know, it might have
relieved
the pain.
Oh, is that what that same thing that kid was? No, that kid from the mask had calcium
deposits. Yeah, it was different.
Calcium buildup.
Yep. Yep. So, even before his surgery, he looked pretty much normal. It just maybe his cheeks looked a little puffier, you know. But, yeah, there's no known cure. And he's just – I just pray that one of these days they find a cure for this because he – well, I think it really affects your mental state too. Because there's things like a lot of times when they have family events, he just can't go just because he's in such excruciating pain. The only way he can get any relief from it is if he goes to sleep, you know. So and he it's one of those things. I mean, you know just as well as I that when you get into a lot of pain like that, it definitely affects your temper. So little things will probably cause you to go spinning out of control. And I definitely think that happens with him, you know, and he's just not, knowing this guy's temperament, not really how he is, you know, or how he usually is. So I just pray for this guy. But like I said, his daughter got it. I think all of his, I think his wife and his other daughter, I think all of the whole family got it, and none of them had to be hospitalized. His mom and dad did separately, so like that's the first time in like their entire marriage where they were away from each other for more than a day. Hmm. You know, which is not good, but. Yeah, so COVID is one of those weird things. I think a majority of the people, at least with the current variant, who seems to get it, gets a very mild case, and it's over. And I think it's the way the next variant, because there's going to be more than one next variant, are all going to get...
Until the Chinese actually deploy the real weapon. This is just the next one.
Yeah, but I think that they're just going to get less and less and less They'll be more virulent, but less of a risk to you, where it's just going to become just like a cold you get.
Cold. That's exactly what it's becoming.
Yep. Well, that's essentially what happened to SARS and to MRSA. What's the other
swine
one?
Swine flu.
No, well, swine flu, that, yeah, that happened to that too. But that's just how viruses are.
Yeah, you had that Middle East.
MERS, that's the other one, yeah.
The Middle East.
Yeah. Right. Right. And that's, you know, they started off really deadly at first and now less and less so. And I think the thing, they learned some important things with this one. That's going to, I think, it's help us make a lot of things better going forward, I think. But the only thing they haven't learned, especially the politicians, haven't learned to just say, hey, we don't know. Because essentially that's the case. You know?
Yeah, and the rich guy who owns a pharmaceutical company.
Right.
He's not a medical doctor. He knows better than medical doctors.
Right. But yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Yeah, people, our ERs are being overloaded, but I don't even think it's 100% COVID related. Some of it is, but some of it's just that they don't have the beds or the staffing in place.
And that's what it is. They don't have the staffing, so
yep,
their capacity goes down.
They laid off a lot of people.
They fired a lot of people who refused to take them to the forced, you know, injection.
That too. Well, it's like when right after our accident, well, we went into the doctor because of what they found in the x-rays. By the way, she had her echocardiogram before Christmas and everything's normal, so there's nothing to worry about with her heart. But when we were in there, you know, I went with her that time, and we both kind of just said, hey, not related to what we're seeing you about, but what are your opinions on this? And I said, and you can trust us. We're not going to tell any. Yeah, I'm not going to mention my doctor's name here, okay? All right. But even he is suspicious of the vaccine and the real pressure from everyone to get it. Now, I'm not going to say don't get it. I'm not going to say get it. I'm going to say do what you want to do. If you think it's a good idea, get it. If you don't get it. I don't care. You know, the doctor's just, he's a little skeptical about why the government pushed to, you know, is so important, especially since a lot of people that, you know, there's lots of people that do have it. Did have their two shots that got it anyway. So, and that's a true statement, right? No matter what anybody says. it's just in that, and we asked him about the masks, and he basically said, unless you're wearing like an N95, it's kind of pointless. But they wear them because, and everyone in their facility has to wear one because of their Medicaid funding. They'd lose Medicaid funding if they didn't do that. Literally what he told me.
Yes, lots of money flying around. That's all you need to know.
So, yeah, and I'm not saying that's true. Like I said, not saying a name here either, but that's certainly the case.
So we're not on YouTube. So you don't have to worry about getting censored.
Right. But no, I don't want to get political about it because it's a real thing.
Politicized is medicine. It's idiotic.
Agree.
It's fucking idiotic.
But it has been since the very beginning. That's the thing that irks me. But.
Well, medicine has always been politicized.
It's taken to the fucking
true
13th power, though, with this.
Right. Right. So, I mean. But yep. You know, it is, like I said, it is what it is. Go do what is best for you and your
exactly
family.
Make your own decisions.
And that's it. Yep. That's why, you know, that's why I got it, because I made that decision. I've also got my booster. I made that decision. And I made that decision not because Joe Biden told me to, or because anybody told me to. I did that because I looked at it and it said it seemed like a good idea for me. Now, I do think you're a little bit, given the kids, is questionable. The most things with the kids, you know, for me, I'm not too worried about long-term effects. Cause let's face it, I don't know how many years do I got left? maybe 30 at best, or 40.
Oh, maybe if you lose 30 pounds.
Well, yeah, but there's that too. But yeah, I'd have to lose a whole lot more than that. But but you know,
I was trying to be polite.
I know, but. But it's like when I looked at it for me, I said, yeah, but when I look at it, you know, what I want Luke to take it, and I'm not really sure I do, you know, mostly. And then that's not because I'm afraid he's going to get it. Cause honestly, I was going to say it now. He goes two or three places every week. Right. And one of them is his house. The other is the bowling alley. And the other is like the gas station or grocery store or something. That's about it. I mean, it's not like we're going out and risking ourselves. Sometimes he'll go to church, but you know, I go out more than, well, either my wife or my son. So, but the thing I'm more concerned with, and it is a valid concern, I don't care what anybody says, it's a valid concern, is what's going to happen to him 20 or 30 years from now because of this thing. They don't really know.
Long-term side effects that they won't tell until 20 years later.
Well, it's not that they won't tell. It's that they can't tell.
That's true, too. Yeah. Yeah, they don't know because nobody's had this. It had this, you know. That kind of goes back towards how safe medicine usually it really is. In this country, unless something like this happens, and that it's usually very safe because it takes literally years, and then in some cases, I think too long for us to approve things, because there's pills that they can get in other countries that could definitely help us here, but that the FDA hasn't gotten around to approving yet. So, in many, like for example, another good example of that is a pill for when you actually get COVID. I think it's approved in like Europe and stuff, but not here yet. But
yes, there are a couple of treatments for when you get COVID that are good, that are out. I think there are even some that are available in the US.
Yes, some aren't, you know. But if anything, like
the antibody treatment.
Yeah. Or the monoclonal antibody. Yeah. Yep. That's available. Well, if you can get it, there's been a shortage of that too.
Right. From what I understand, there isn't going to be like any more available that isn't already accounted for until like mid-January or something.
Yep. That's what I heard.
Jackie was telling me about that a little while ago.
And that's my something wife. Yep. That's something that you'd only do once you have it.
Yeah.
So hopefully you don't get it, but but if you ask me, am I scared of Omicron? Not really. I'm not scared of it. Yeah. If I get it, I get it. Oh, well, you know,
well, you'll have natural immunity.
Yeah. But
I went to a gun show 2 weeks ago when Rich was there. There was thousands of people there. I didn't get
the one in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, thousands of people walking around. Most of them didn't have masks on.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, because there's many stores like around here that says, has a sign on the front of the door. It says you should have you are required to have a mask by local ordinances. But you walk in and like, you know, I would say probably
no one,
90% don't have masks. including workers? Well,
I was in Florida for a while, and I saw places with signs that says, if you're not vaccinated, then you need to wear a mask.
I've seen those.
You know, it's great to have those signs up and all that, but there is absolutely zero checking, zero enforcement. So,
even the ones that do, you know, like chase you down and say, hey, you need to have a mask, you know, I might wear it for a little bit. And then I'll walk in and I see, like, I don't know, 50% of the people that are wearing it have their nose hanging out or they have it hanging around their diaper and basically...
Oh, dick nosing?
Yeah. Yeah, dick nosing. That's a good one. So I'm like...
And then you have the opposite, like in New York City where they arrest you if you don't have a quote-unquote vaccine passport to go inside, which is kind of outrageous. It's kind of totalitarian, if you ask me.
It's a bit totalitarian, but the population density of New York doesn't leave a whole lot of leeway.
Yeah, I have no desire to ever go back there. I'm originally from New York.
Yeah.
That ship is sinking years ago. It's done.
I didn't, you know, honestly, I wouldn't want to go and live in a city where basically you're kind of at a disadvantage if you have a vehicle. You're much better off taking public
Between that and you know, people burning your neighborhood down, you know.
Yeah.
Getting hit upside the head with a tire iron. Yeah.
I couldn't live any place where I couldn't, you know, get personal space walking around.
Agreed. I mean, I don't like people enough for that shit. Yeah. Well, see, you know, that's the thing. You know, they talk about social distancing. Where I did that before the pandemic. It's like when I plan a vacation. Like, say we're planning to go to an amusement park, which we haven't been to one in a few years because Luke doesn't really care for them.
Yeah, I went over the summer.
Right, but it's this. It's like, would I go on a Saturday? Hells to the no. I'd pick like those days I might travel, like I might drive to where it is that day, but like the first couple days we get there, it's either find something else to do or go somewhere else that isn't nearly as packed as an amusement park is. And the Wednesday is usually a really good day to go to an amusement park because it's the middle of a work week and people generally aren't there as much, you know.
Yeah, I'll make an exception to my rule for a day or something to go to an amusement park or something like that where I understand you're standing in line and the concept of personal space kind of goes out the window, but not as a place to live.
Same, you know. Yeah.
So if Saturday was the only day that I could get the whole family into Disney, which I probably wouldn't because
and I have no desire to go there either. Rich. Right. The rich or the mathematically challenged people that take out that put it on their credit card and pay for it the next 5 years.
Oh man, God.
Super expensive.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I could put up with it for that one day if that was the only day we could get everybody there. I'd probably be twitchy for like a week afterwards, but I'd put up with it.
Right.
Anyhow, the Book of Boba Fett was released.
Yes, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it after this show.
Yeah.
Looks awesome.
Did it all get released, or are they doing it weekly?
One by one, which sucks. Paramount does that too. Disney does it as well, and it's just frustrating. Now, the one show that is coming out this week that doesn't do that, Cobra Kai. So if you haven't watched it,
bringing back the other guy from the other
Terry season. Silver, the evil bastard,
the guy bringing everybody out.
Like, well, let's see, Terry Silver. No, well, I mean, here's the thing. Okay, think this kind of made when I sat and think about it, I thought it kind of made Karate Kid 3 an even worse movie. The guy runs a business that was basically disposing of toxic waste and in not so nice ways. but why would a guy like that take a few weeks off or a few months off in that case just to torture Daniel and Mr. Miyagi? That's the thing. I said, you know what? That's insane. Which means, I guess, kind of drives... Because
a friend asked him to.
Right? Well, yeah, an army...
Yeah, an old army buddy asked him to.
What else is coming back? The Boys, I think, is coming back soon.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
I think Picard comes back soon as well. I think that's actually next month, I think, if I remember
right. Star Trek Discovery's running right now.
Yeah, it's going into its hiatus soon, though. In fact, I think it is in a hiatus.
Has anybody watched Wheel of Time?
No.
I'm having trouble getting through it. It's so different from the books. I think if it weren't for me being such a fan of the books, that the TV show would be okay. But my dad really likes it, but he's never read the books. So, yeah, it's just so different, and it just makes my eyeball twitch a little bit.
Well, it's like, Discovery has been really good, and not as much of the woke stuff this year. I mean, Adira is still on the crew, they made that. Well, I won't say anything about the other character, but the old big problem with that is, actually, I think I've seen the same thing in previous seasons too. When I think about it, like for example, the angel thing in the first season, which ended up being her mom, I think, Michael's mom, but then they got something else happening this year, and they're taking freaking forever to get to the point. Because once they get to the point, they got to figure out how to stop it, to figure out what exactly it is. But it's still not too bad, though. But a lot of good stuff is happening in it.
And the Orville's supposed to come back, I think, in March.
Yes, and I think it's the last season for that, which is pretty freaking sad. But, and I actually still like Seth, so he's pretty well balanced, which is more going to say for a lot of people in Hollywood. But and the shows have always been good. I might have to start watching some of that again since I'm off Monday. Since New Year's Day is on a Saturday,
right?
Our holiday.
Yeah, it's really messed with the schedule.
Oh, it has. Since,
you know, both Christmas and New Year's fall on a Saturdays, and then the U.S. has the technical holiday on Friday, and then Europe has the holiday on Monday, and probably something New Year's the holiday will be on the Friday, which will right. be fine. But
well, see that we actually have to work New Year's Eve. But what I'm hoping
we do too.
Yeah, what I'm hoping is that when we all log into the stand up in the morning, that either my manager or her manager, or his manager, I should say, one of the managers on my team says, "Hey, y'all can take off after noon if you want," because I definitely will. It's been slow, you know, except for the on-call folks.
We can't do that. We have to have somebody watching all the time. And the only days our batches don't run are actual Christmas Day and, like, actual New Year's Day. But since they're both on weekends, the weekend batches are still going to run, so it's not really going to make any difference. Whatsoever.
Well, that's like now my company always gives us Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. So because the Christmas Day was Saturday, I was off Monday. That's when I drove back to Ohio. And then,
now I did end up having to work. I think I talked about that last show because I had a guy that called in and you know, magically knew that he was going to be sick. Called in Saturday, said he was going to be sick Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but he knew he was going to be back for Thursday and Friday, and he was indeed back for Thursday and Friday, and then he was sick again on Monday.
Yeah.
And the problem with this is he was also out of vacation days and sick days. That tells you anything.
That's one thing. I'll probably have to do an adjustment because when I first scheduled all my vacation, I had calculated everything right, but apparently I missed some of that. But it ends up being okay because if we used all of our vacation this year, our company gave us all an extra week.
Oh, so, well, they didn't give us an extra week of vacation. They gave us a week of no questions asked sick days.
Hello. Okay.
Which is good if, you know, you have sick days left to use.
Right. But, and actually, for the second year in a row, I'm rather impressed my company actually sent out Christmas gifts. Not lying. last year, I got a fleece and a Yeti coffee mug, travel style with the lid and everything. And then this year, it's a Biterback, like a throw blanket with the company logo on it. About the size you probably lay across your lap if you're sitting in a recliner and watching TV or something. Yeah. Nothing, you know. Couldn't throw it on your bed. Wouldn't cover much. But it's really nice. I thought about bringing it up here, but I'm never cold when I'm up in my office, even in the winter so far. You know, granted, we haven't had much below 32 lately. We've had a couple below freezing days, but nothing even in the 20s yet. But they are coming. But I guarantee you, it won't be hot.
Oh, we're supposed to be getting a freeze this weekend. Hopefully, it's not another snowpocalypse.
Christmas Day was like in the 60s here, and down in Knoxville, it was in the 70s. And I'm running around in a shirt sleeve, you know, a t-shirt and long pants down there. I probably could have done shorts, but, you know, those cold people, those southerners down there, you'd probably have a little bit
of sweaters and heavy jackets.
And I'm like, you're nuts, man. This is beautiful.
Probably pulling out the snowsuits.
Some of them probably were, yeah. It's worse in some places than others. Like Tennessee seems to be like that every year.
I've had coworkers walk up and say, "Why are you wearing that heavy jacket? It's barely freezing," and it's like, I've spent the last 20 odd years of my life before I moved here in one desert or another. This shit's cold. Leave me alone. I am allowed to be frozen when you're not.
It's been mild up here, man. We've hardly had any days below freezing.
It's been
in the 40s and like some days even in the 50s.
Yeah, I've gotten kind of used to the whole 50 degree temperature again, and you know, there was some cold weather when we first got into Florida for the first couple of days. I don't know why. Like, we brought it with us from Texas or something. We did get blamed by my family. But, I'm definitely not as adverse to the cold as I used to be, but I still prefer to be warm.
Yeah, but like, you know, you can tell I'm from up here because, like, today is what? A little bit rainy in 47, and a friend of mine, I had bought through, every time I drive through Kentucky, I end up filling a section of my car with some L8 because it's just delicious. And down there, I can get the diet variant, the zero sugar version, both cherry and regular. In fact, I just drank a regular flavor, which is close as I can tell. I can tell you what it tastes like is like a ginger ale with a little bit of a citrus twist, and it does have caffeine in it too. But they have that one and then the cherry version. So stopped and filled that up. And I got some for me and then some for a friend of mine who also loves the stuff. And he came over to pick it up today. He bought two cases. He paid for it too, thankfully. Because I go into a grocery store in Lexington, Kentucky on the way back, and they spent $60 all on pop. I go to, he came to by the house. He never been here. So I gave him the little quick nickel tour. And then we went outside and we were shooting the shit too, because he's off all week. And it's been light, super light, not a lot of meetings.
It's always nice when everybody else is on vacation.
And I'm out in the garage and we're just chatting away and I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt in 40 degree weather. Actually, when I was in high school, the only time we were allowed to wear sweatpants is if it was below 40 anyway.
Yeah, well, I remember being a kid in Iowa or a teenager in Iowa and walking outside when there was snow on the ground wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt and not giving a crap. But that was, 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I've always been warm-blooded. That's like, even when it was like, 10 degrees, in my one office when I was still at the college, it was like right across the street was one building, they called the Academic Center C, I think, at the time. I don't know what's called anymore. And it had openings on our side where our office was, and our office is just right across the street. And then on the other side of that building, it had another set. So what I would do is that I would, when I was going to the bookstore, which is on the other side of this building, is I wouldn't wear a jacket at all. I would just grab my phone and walk across the street, go cut through that building, and then walk from that building outside to the bookstore, and then go get my bag of chips and a pop or whatever I was getting to add to my lunch, or sometimes all of lunch, because at that time they also I think at one point they had like a sub shop in there, and I get a sub in there every once in a while for lunch. I don't know if they have that stuff anymore, but I would just walk in there, get it, and walk back out, and people would see me no jack and say, "Aren't you cold?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's cold, but I'm out here for maybe 5 minutes. Doesn't bother me. I'd even do that when there's snow on the ground. I didn't care." It's just the way I'm built. I'm always hot blooded. It's like up here, my wife will. I don't know why she puts the thermostat on 72, but she does. That makes it more closer to 75 up here. And now it's really warm.
It's been,
but I'm not doing
that. That's all I'm
saying. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
I'm not doing like somebody shared an article on Facebook that says that we should set the thermostat no higher than 68. And at night you should turn it down to 58. I'm like, yeah, no.
Why? I couldn't afford that.
When it's cold out. Right?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, this is Texas.
Yeah, in Texas, you would be air conditioning down to that. Even in the middle of the winter, you'd probably be doing that. But
no, I also use like a heated blanket. If it dropped down to 58 in my house, I'd be pretty sure that everybody was dead already.
To keep the flies off.
Yeah, I guess. Actually, I wonder, this time of year, some people had, like, we finally tossed our poinsettias out. But we bought, about mid-December, we bought some, nice, rather large poinsettias. Had them sitting in our dining room. They looked nice, but we came home and they started to dry up and start dropping bracts. And I remotely, see, that's kind of the nice thing is after everyone's gone, from Knoxville, I can lower the thermostat here. And I did that.
Well,
I think I did reset it as we were coming back up, but
it's like 9 o'clock.
Yep. Bob done.
Yep.
So we won't be putting those things in there. I know there's people listening to the live stream. We're gonna send this to Dan and maybe it might be posted, but make sure that if you're available to check out the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve special, both either listening or participating.
Friday.
And look on the HPR.org website for details.
And it'll be on this server.
Yep.
You guys have a happy new year.
We're using Delwinds. We're using Delwinds.
Yep. We're using chatter.skyhaven.net this year.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Well, make sure you eat some pork and sauerkraut for good luck if you're the type. That's what
we eat.
If you do
eat the pork and sauerkraut, crack the windows open so you know.
Yes.
Yes, you try the rat.
Or take some Beano. Because you will be rocking the house.
Switch it up. Eat some kimchi.
Pizza and kimchi?
Good. I try that.
Did you say pizza and kimchi?
Eat some kimchi.
Oh, eat some kimchi. Yeah.
Because it's delicious.
I'd eat that. I'm sure it is. But
spicy kimchi.
It's good.
Spicy kimchi. Well, what you got for New Year's Eve? We've got some summer sausage, and I'm probably going to order some wings. So, and get some crackers. But
I don't know. I got this recipe here for pork vindaloo. It sounds interesting. I'll try it.
Pork vindaloo. That does sound good.
Pork vindaloo, because I didn't think the Indians eat pork.
Well,
no, it's cow they don't eat.
Goa was colonized by the Portuguese, and they love their pigs, so.
Okay. All right, everyone. Take care. I'm going to end the recording.
Have a good one.
Talk to y'all later.